I imagine their boots kicked in our front door the same way the hijacked plane crashed into the World Trade Center before everything collapsed. I wasn't always an orphan, you know. Wasn't always redefining family just to realize how alone I was. Wasn't always having staring contests with mirrors to figure out who I am or who I'm not before they came for them. I remember my parents as ends of a shoelace on a worn out sneaker that sometimes became undone, especially in poor weather, but both knew family can't run on a loose shoe. Remember the day the two tied the knot. Remember both holding each other like a cocoon, mother smiling like the hammock they both rested on, father singing to her in tune with everything. What a beautiful butterfly they must have turned out to be. After that, I don't remember much about my parents. But I'll never forget the morning the terrorists attacked my home. I awoke to the pat-downs of their flashlights and the alarm clock of my mother screaming in the next room. The stampede of intruders shook the ground as if they knew it was their fault. The initials on their jackets explained the temperature of the room. I-C-E, I was young, not old enough to know what the Patriot Act meant, but knew very well what it means to protect your home. As I tried to impede the bigoted hands that swallowed my father, immigration officers who mistook a man for a mug, his skin for mud, and found something to step on, interpreted reaching for my mother as resistance and showed us what the war on terror looks like as they slammed his body against walls, knocking down traditional ornaments and photos right before cropping family at a family portrait. I felt like a third world country was collapsing in front of me by American hands as their knuckles opened fire with every bullet of a jab, saying, "You don't belong here, you don't belong here, you don't belong here." It was the first and the only time I've seen my father surrender. Hands tied behind his back, head down as if his swollen face weighed more, kneeling like a bad paperclip that couldn't hold together his Salvadorian citizenship and his American green card, when my mother yelled at the officers with her heart, English, and family all broken, not knowing they would come for her later that week, until the whole house became a ghost town, until I was the only dying person in the living room, sat in a deafening silence as my teardrops exploded against the floor as loud as the bombs in Baghdad or the fireworks of 4th of July. America, tell me how gorgeous does independence sound when you're capturing another country? Do their white flags become your star-spangled banner when you're done wiping the blood off of your hands? Do you find it ironic that the people you are trying to keep out with fences are the same ones building them, force people out of their homeland in the name of homeland security? I get it. You were just trying to show me what it's like to have foreigners invade your home, and I got it. Spend the rest of my life like a hijab in rural North Carolina, like chopsticks in an American restaurant, like a sore thumb in a room full of middle fingers all staring at me, grew up straight with international phone calls for parents, and my body language as a language barrier became homeless, living at my aunt's house. And I could go on how no child left behind does not apply to American kids with foreign parents, on how a digital hug from your mother countries away does not feel as comforting, on how 5,000 children have lost parents to deportation already, and 15,000 more face similar threats in the next 5 years, on how we are all immigrants, all seeds that fell in different directions but all rooted in the same tree, because last I checked, there is only one race, the human race. And I could go on. But I know you have a family to go home to. I just wish I still had mine too. Thank you.
Welcome to First Gens. This is a podcast about first generation Americans and filling in the blanks beside the hyphen. I'm Preen, and you just listened to a poem entitled "The Dearly Deported" by Harrison Chicas. We're going to continue part two of our DACA special, Dare to Dream, and hear from an even more special dreamer. This is Manny's story.
I identify as an undocumented Latina I'm very open about being undocumented, and I let people know because I'm a human being like everyone else is, and I feel like having that label doesn't make me any less than another person. We arrived when I turned 11 months, so 18 years. We're from Mexico. I've been here my entire life. I haven't known any other home besides Charlotte. I grew up here, and my siblings were both born here. So just being here for so long and realizing when I got to high school that I couldn't just as easily go to college or like get a degree was very impactful because it made me like push myself harder and become a better person than I already was. I really just appreciated everything that I got because I knew that it was the life that my parents wanted for me. They didn't ever just hand things out for like none of us, like my two siblings and I. We always had to work for everything that we had, even like with my parents, because they wanted us to grow up with that mentality that you have to go for what you want and you just can't get things handed. So just growing up here was a blessing because I have cousins that do live in Mexico, and we come from a very crime-ridden and drug-ridden like neighborhood, and like that part of the country is known for being affiliated with drugs. So just realizing that the opportunity that I had here because of like the sacrifice my parents made just made me feel just very blessed. I do believe it gave me a different perspective because I came along certain people in my life where they took things for granted, even just the smallest things is having a social security number and being able to get a license or like their learner's permit as soon as they turned 15. I wasn't able to do that. I had to wait until I was 18, pay some extra fines in order to get my license. And it was small things like that where I appreciated things a lot more than like my peers did. And just being able to get a college education, like being undocumented and be able to do that was just one of the biggest things that like impacted my life. And seeing things differently because I knew both sides of the spectrum. Like I knew where people came from, where they think that we don't belong in this country. I understand because they think this is their country, but they also weren't originally from here either. So that's like one really big thing where I tried to understand both sides and like see where people were coming from, but at the same time tried to like voice my own opinion on what I believe. When former President Obama came out with DACA, I feel like that was my transitioning moment because I hadn't really realized how much being undocumented had like affected my entire life. I hadn't really thought about like the college process and how I was going to get to school. I thought it was just trying to find the money and scholarships, but it was much more than that. I feel like ever since that came out, I felt liberated and I was able to speak up without feeling like I was in danger if I did. So even just when it came down to introducing myself, if someone even just mentioned illegal immigrant, I would go off literally. They're not just social security numbers, we're humans that are like wanting a better life in that world. So I applied as soon as I turned 15, and as the immigration system does, it took forever. I got my DACA about 5 months after I put my application in, which doesn't seem like a long time, but when your entire life is on the line, it seems like forever. As soon as I got it, it was the most like relieving moment of my life because I was like, this small little piece of paper is keeping me here, which is kind of terrifying at the same time. And like just knowing other people that have that DACA, so all of the Golden Door, like the entire cohort, and I've met all of them. We had a summit during the summer, one of the most amazing experiences ever. I've met a lot of them, and just hearing their stories, hearing how they got here and where they're going. These are all college students that are just trying to make their own community and themselves and their family just like a better place for everyone to live in. And it's not just it's more of a community sense. It's not just, oh, I have DACA and I'm the only person. Like, you feel the sense of community when you find other people that have it as well because it's someone you can relate to. While going through the process of trying to obtain my DACA, I went to an immigration attorney because just the process is overwhelming. It's the first time you're filling out these forms and it's very confusing, especially for a 15-year-old trying to read legal jargon. It's pretty confusing. So we decided to go with an immigration attorney, and they were very helpful, but at the same time it gets pricey. So even just like renewing every 2 years, it's almost $500, and that can be a huge hurdle for a lot of people. So I was blessed with like my parents and like having the money to pay for the attorney and pay for my things to be filed and everything. But there are people that don't have that opportunity, so it's quite a hurdle to get over. There are several misconceptions, but one of the biggest ones is that we are all criminals, and it's not true. Because most of the people that are under DACA, these are kids that came at like an average of 6 years old. How can you be a criminal at the age of six? Please do explain. And just that we're actually here just to make a better like person out of ourselves and help our families and just help the community in general. Most of us were really small when we got here, so we call this place our home because this is all we've ever known. So we just want to make this country a better country, and that's what we're working towards. And our parents are doing the same thing. If their children are obviously living here, they want to make it a better place as well. And when the whole thing of DACA comes up, it's like they focus only on like the students and the people that are bringing in, like are going to college and getting jobs. But I feel like the parents are just very underestimated, because these are the people that are working so hard, working two or three jobs just to be able to support their family and just to keep these kids going and allowing them to get a better future without having to worry about what's happening at home. I've had two uncles deported, and it does take a toll on the family, because even just small little family reunions, you notice that uncle is missing, and you notice that everyone that used to hang out with him and like all the friends that would come along, they aren't there anymore. And just having like half your family here and then the other like in your country, just it kind of takes a toll on like just even Christmas or New Year's or get-togethers, because you're like, this person used to be here and used to laugh and have fun, and now they're in a completely different place. And it does take a toll on the family, just like in general, like they're missed, and just they're especially their kids, because it's your life is here, but your parents are in a different country, but you have to keep living here because this is where you were raised and where you were born, and your future is here, and there isn't necessarily a future back home or where your parents call home. Because they're just, that's why they left. The first reason they left is because there wasn't a future for the kids. So that's just something that like really does hit home. Going to Guarantor was probably the most amazing, and just, it was the best decision I've ever made. And I decided to go there because I was like, it's close to home, and I know with the whole fact that my parents can't get a license, I know I'm gonna have to walk home if I ever stay after school, and just small little things like that that other people take for granted when they're like, oh, my mom's just picked me up. Just going there, I got to meet different people from different places, and that's not something I would have gotten at a different like school. And just getting to hear their stories was probably one of the most amazing things. Just getting to know that some of these students are like refugees, and their background is a lot like harsher than what I've had to deal with, and just being inspired by them while also inspiring other people was just like a really big thing for me. And I feel like the teachers at that school are very underappreciated. A lot of them do much more than what they're paid for. They go above and beyond to like make sure that the students feel comfortable and they feel at home. And it does feel like a home, like it's a community. It's not just, oh, I went to school there, but it's like the people that you went to school there with are gonna be your friends and their family. That's what it feels like. It was a great experience, and just getting to know these people and getting to hear their stories was beyond amazing. So at Wingate University, I'm double majoring in environmental biology and mathematics. And after graduation, I was planning on doing environmental engineering because it's one of my passions, just helping the environment and just everything having to do with animals and the earth. But I think I might change to more of like focusing on animals and the other inhabitants of this planet, because they matter too. And I felt like the engineering part of it was, it wasn't a very social type of context, and I'm a social person, and I felt like it would be too constricting on my behalf. And I'm just trying to focus on finding something that I would love to do and getting to like meet other people that are also very like passionate about the same thing I'm passionate about. For me, the American dream is just being able to become a better person, just overall, being able to prospering your own definition of prospering, because for someone like myself, just the American dream is just being able to help others while also like making a future for myself. And that's like one thing that I'm really big with, is just helping others around me, because we're in this together, whether we like it or not. And just being able to like share everything that we have, like just the knowledge and just love and care, and just sharing all of that is a really big thing. And just being able to become a better human being in general, that's my version of the American dream. I feel like this country is a great place to just be able to achieve that, because there's so many opportunities. And I feel like just being born in a different country shouldn't define your American dream. It should be open to everyone. I'm just very proud to be Mexican, because we have so much culture and just the food in general. Yeah, it's great. I absolutely love just watching videos of everything that goes on in Mexico, and just being able to see how even just like from where I'm from, which is Sinaloa, we have a dance that we do, and it's amazing to see that these little children that are dressing up in these costumes and these dresses, and like putting shows on for their parents during like Independence Day and all of those things. It's just, there's so much culture behind it, and just being able to be proud of that is pretty amazing. And I'm very disappointed in myself, but when I was younger, I didn't really want to be related to that. I wanted to be American, but I realized sooner or later that I could be American and still just want to have the Mexican culture and want to have all of those things that came along with it.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to continue to hear from you. Make sure to leave a review or comment on social media and continue to interact with us during the off season. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FirstGens. That's the number one, STGENS. Plus, get tons of bonus content and check out what we've been doing here in the Charlotte community by going to our website, firstgenspodcast.com. And don't forget, Sky and I are gearing up to go back to Liberia for season 2, and we need all the support that we can get. If you can support us and donate any amount, we would greatly appreciate it. You can go to GoFundMe.com/FirstGens. That's GoFundMe.com/1 STGENS. Thanks in advance. If you enjoyed what you heard, subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find us. We can also be found wherever else you get your podcast. First Gens was created by me, Preen DeShield. The show is co-hosted by myself and Sky Wilson, the fabulous Sky Wilson. Trey Pierce, aka Self, is our audio engineer. And all of the lovely music that you hear is composed and created by the wonderful Nick Stubblefield. First Gens is a proud member of Huga, an amazing co-working space based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you so much for all of your love, support, shares, likes, reposts, everything. Thank you.
I thought you meant Beyonce Lemonade, and I was trying to figure that out. I was like, how is this about Beyonce, girl? Like, she's from here. Like, okay. Yeah, you got to say lemons into lemonade next time. Lemonade now means Beyonce.